Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4. In verse 6, the Word of God says, God gives more grace. Imagine that. There's grace, and then there's more grace. And God gives more grace. Now, this word more is not just a little bit more. It's like an ocean more of grace. It's amazing quantities of grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God doesn't give more grace to just anybody. We always think that grace is something you don't earn, and that is true. Grace is something you cannot earn. But in order to receive it, you have to be humble. One of the most important characteristics for anyone to possess is humility. The way that the world is, the superstars in the world, many of them, and the famous people, they're very proud. And they can be very arrogant, and they can actually promote people being proud. People elevating themselves and saying, look at me, I'm all that and a bag of chips. Have you ever met somebody like that? Look at me, I'm special. Look at me, I'm amazing. You know what always blows my mind? In football, a team is losing 42-3, and a guy from the losing team tackles the opponent, and then he starts celebrating and saying, I'm number one, and all this stuff. You're losing 42-3. That's a basketball blowout. And you are telling me you're all that and a bag of chips? You are dreadful. Wake up to the fact that you're no good. And maybe then you'll actually improve. Always stay humble. Always stay humble. When I say stay humble, I don't mean act like you are less than you are. That's not humility. That's a form of pride, actually, where people are trying to say, oh, look how special I am. I'm so humble. Watch out for people who proclaim their humility or want everybody to see their humility. They're usually kind of weird, but it's a type of pride. There's nothing to really show us who's humble in most cases, except these guys on the football field saying, I'm number one, losing 42-3, but I hit a guy. It's weird. Always stay humble. Now, humility is a mindset. Humility is not something you pretend. It's something you are. Either you are humble or you're not humble. If you are not humble, humble yourself. What it is, sometimes we think, oh, I feel like I'm less than, or I don't think too much of myself. But you know, if you think too little of yourself, that's a form of pride also. What it is you don't think too much about yourself. You don't become the issue if you're humble. You ever meet somebody who says, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't care. Why? Why do you say, I don't like that? Because it's pride. We have to realize it's not about us. It's about God. It's about the lost. It's about a kingdom. It's about a plan that God has. It's about reality as it exists. It's about souls going to heaven and some souls, unfortunately, going to hell if they reject Christ. It's about things that are much bigger than we are, and we have the privilege of being part of a kingdom that is enormous and powerful and significant and eternal. That's where our impact lies, is when we function in the kingdom of God. That's where we become important in reality, when we function in the kingdom of God. I love what happened in Acts. Was there were these guys who were trying to rebuke these demons, and they thought these guys did, that they are all that and a bag of chips. And they go and they try to rebuke these demons, and the demons attack them. And the thing was that they had no standing with God. It was just a show. It was pride. And the demons recognized that. They said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. But the demons said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And that kind of cut them down to size a little bit. Who are you? You find somebody who's puffing themselves up and acting like they're all that in a bag of chips, just ask yourself, who are you? Jesus I know, Paul I know from the Bible, who are you? You're nobody. Nobody is anybody. That's the thing. We are made of dust. In Genesis 2:7, we are made of dust. That is what our bodies are composed of, dust. And if you break them down chemically, you will find out that what is in our body is exactly the same stuff that is in the dust. Because we are made of dust. That's the materials. So we are all these dust balls. Have you ever seen a dust ball? We are all these dust balls. And some people who are nothing more than dust balls say, hey, I'm a special dust ball. I'm a special dust ball. Nobody is a special dust ball. We're all just dust balls. I don't care if you're the janitor or if you're the president or anything above or below or in between. It doesn't make any difference. You're a dust ball. I'm a dust ball. We're all dust balls. So why puff ourselves up? This dust ball sticking out its chest. Hey, I'm all that. No, you're a dust ball. People who give you a hard time at school, don't be worried about them. They're nothing more than dust balls. Don't worry about that. Now, when somebody becomes proud, God resists them. Humility is simply, I agree with God about everything. That's what humility means. Humility is not, I'm less than, I'm more than, I'm somewhere in between. None of that stuff. Humility simply means, I agree with God about everything. And so, if you say, yep, God said it, that's the way it is, there's the definition of humility. Staying in a place where I trust God is what keeps you humble. Pride, on the other hand, is when I elevate myself and I think I'm more or smarter or different or know more than God does, know more than the Word of God. I know so much more than the Bible. And there's plenty of people like that, and God calls them fools. Because God says in Isaiah 55 that His mind is so much higher than our mind. Infinitely higher than our mind. His thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. God knows infinitely more than any human being or all the human beings put together. He's infinitely more. He is infinitely more. So never worry about pride. Never worry about humility. Be worried about agreeing with God. That's your concern for your life. I agree with God. I believe what God is saying. I trust Him. Be concerned with that. If a person is proud, that's a very serious condition. Because it says there that God resists the proud. Now that word resist is not a good translation. It doesn't mean that God resists them. You ever resist the temptation to eat a cookie? I personally have never. But have you ever resisted a temptation like eating a cookie and you just kind of resist? And that's English resist. But this wasn't written in English. This was written in Greek. And the word there, resist, is not a great translation. What it actually means is God goes to war against the proud. That's a lot more serious. God goes to war against someone who is proud. Now, God holds our atoms together. If God goes to war against someone, that's very dangerous for them. That's really bad news. If a Christian is proud, God still loves them, but God will go to war to make them right with Him. And He'll let them suffer the results of their pride. Often that comes in their emotions. That's where it often starts. Not always, but often. And they'll become very unstable in their thinking and very emotionally off the wall because they don't agree with God. They think they know something different than what God knows. They don't agree with Him. And if I don't think I agree with God, then my emotions are going to reflect what I'm thinking. And I can become extremely unstable if I don't agree with God. As a matter of fact, people who don't agree with God eventually can even become mentally ill. That's serious stuff. But why? Because God is opposing them in a military kind of a way. He's going to war against those people if they are proud. You see somebody who's puffing themselves up at school or something, and you say, oh, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. You don't have to say anything to them particularly because God's going to do it for you. Remember, God always fights your battles. You want to be sure that you simply keep agreeing with God. You don't ever want to get to the point where you disagree with him. Now, it says in Psalm 34:2 that the humble will hear and be glad. That means, hey, they're actually going to be happy as a result of what they heard. What are they hearing? They're hearing the word of God. This is how it works. When you hear the word of God in Romans 10:17, it produces faith in you. Now, the word of God also says in Habakkuk 2:4 that we live by faith. So I have faith built in me, not because I work it up, but because I receive the word of God. And the word of God builds faith in me because it teaches me how to think with the thoughts of God. That's faith. When I have faith, in other words, I have God's thoughts in my mind and that's what I believe. When I'm living in faith, in Matthew 17:20, nothing is impossible for me. Absolutely nothing is impossible for the person who lives in faith. So we want to focus on having the Word of God and agreeing with the Word of God, believing the Word of God, trusting it because it is reality, it is entirely trustworthy, and that produces faith. And when we have faith, nothing is impossible. If I have faith and I ask God for something, it'll be done for me. Now, we have to be careful about this. It's not about a quantity of faith. It's not how much faith you have. It's what you put your faith in. Some people put their faith in other people. Never put your faith in other people. They will disappoint. Some people put their faith in money. But money can be lost. Some people put their faith in their physical abilities. But what if you get into an accident and you lose your physical abilities? The only place where we can really put faith is in the Word of God, because that is reality. As you receive the Word, it builds your faith. When you have faith, nothing is impossible. Some people say, well, maybe nothing is impossible, but maybe some things are impossible. No, that's not what God said. God said nothing is impossible to the person who has faith. Now, the other thing that faith does, which comes by the Word of God, in Hebrews 11:3, it gives us understanding. Certain people, certain Christians, they just get it. In other words, they get into a situation or they hear something and they know what's really going on. Other people may not see it. Other people may not get it. Other people may think, nah, that can't be right. But these people just get it. They know what's going on. You say something and often they will know what you're really saying. And it may be what you're saying and it may actually not be what you're saying. You may be thinking something but not know how to put it in words, or there may be something in your heart you're not even aware of. And when that takes place, some people's, this doesn't happen with them all the time because God still protects privacy for people, but sometimes when the need arises, God shows them what exactly is going on. Because faith produces understanding. And so if I have faith, I understand the real nature of things, and I have faith through the Word of God, and the Word of God defines the real nature of things. And so I can understand the real nature of things because I believe the Word of God. I'll believe the Word of God if I'm humble. Then it says also in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is reality. Now here's the thing about faith, and this is what makes it hard for people sometimes. One of the requirements for faith is that you can't see what you're trusting. If you can see it, it's not faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance, the tangible, the reality. This is what makes it real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith requires that you can't see what you have faith in. Now, we can see the Word of God, but we can't see God. We have faith in God through the Word of God. That's why it's faith, because we can't see Him. Faith is the substance, the reality of it, and it is evidence. It is real evidence. Sometimes people will say something silly like, I'll believe it when I see it. Have you ever heard something like that? They'll say, I believe it when I see it. Some people say seeing is believing. No, that's completely the opposite of the truth. Believing requires not seeing. However, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith you can't please God. Because without faith, you're not in tune with reality. You're not in tune with God. And, by the way, you can't accept grace. You can't receive grace. You can't enter grace without faith. Romans 5:2, the Word of God says that we have access by faith into grace. So let's connect the dots. If a person is humble, number one, God will not oppose them in a war. A personal war against God, that's not good. But God will actually increase that person. God will promote that person. God will help that person. And then God gives them grace. And how does He do it? The humble will hear and be glad. The humble will hear and it'll produce joy in their heart, because it builds their faith through giving them God's thinking. When they have God's thinking, they can be very confident, and nothing is impossible for a person like that. And that person understands things that other people cannot understand without faith. And it brings them into grace. Grace is God's government. If you want to operate as a Christian, if you want to live like a Christian, you have to live in grace. Now, if you don't want to live like a Christian, then you can live any way you want, but the consequences are going to be rough. So I don't recommend that to anybody. I mean, it's like saying, here's a hammer. I wonder what will happen if I hit my hand with it. I think I'll try. Or you can listen to somebody who's had experience and say, you know what? Don't hit your hand with the hammer. It'll hurt. But I don't believe that it'll hurt. I believe for me, because I'm special, I can pound my hand with a hammer and it won't hurt at all. It'll make my hand stronger. What do you think is going to happen? Which one is right? I have a feeling that there's no person on earth who has ever pounded their hand with a hammer that liked it. It ended up badly. They usually break a bone or something. It's like that with God. God says, I give you my word, trust it. Not trusting my word can lead you to some bad places. I give you my word, trust it. That trusting part brings you into grace. Now, grace is three things. Grace is God's gift to you. It's Ephesians 2:8. Grace is God's kindness toward you. It's Ephesians 2:7. And grace is God's government. That's Hebrews 4:16. So God gives you a gift, just like any gift. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. God is extremely kind to you, and the way that you receive His kindness is by trusting Him. And there is a government that works on your behalf. A government that gives you wisdom when you need it. A government that gives you protection when you need protection. A government that gives you whatever you need. If you need food, it'll give you food. If you need money, it'll give you money. It takes care of all of your needs. And it's a government. And the head of that government is God. And He's for you. But you enter it by faith. That means if I believe God, I'm going to make choices according to what I believe. And I believe God. So I'm going to make choices according to God's word because I believe God. If you believe something else, knock yourself out. God calls it proud. The problem with being proud is God doesn't accept it. God opposes it. But if you're humble, God will give you incredible quantities of kindness, incredible quantities of gift. In other words, He'll do things for you. And he'll very powerfully use his government on your behalf to take care of you, to help you, to provide your needs. That's what happens when you're humble. So remember, guys, in everything, never get proud. Stay humble. Whatever you do, stay humble. That is one of the most important characteristics any person can possess. Stay humble. Pride leads us to make some stupid mistakes. Let me give you one example and then we'll close. Several years ago, Coca-Cola company came up with a new Coke, and they called it New Coke. And there's people here who remember New Coke. New Coke was disgusting. It tasted gross. This happened when they got a new head of the company. And the guys who were working for him, they all said to him, "Don't change what works. Don't mess with it. It's popular. It's the most popular soft drink in the world. Don't mess with it. Don't change it. It works. It makes this company very prosperous. Don't mess with it." But he thought he knew better than everybody else. So what does he do? He changes the formula. It was gross. Pepsi was so happy when he did this. It was gross. Everyone hated it. They put it into all the grocery stores. Nobody bought it because it tasted disgusting. And then very quickly, they introduced the old Coke back. They called it Coke Classic for a while. Then they removed New Coke altogether because it tasted worse than mud water. And then they stopped calling Coke Coke Classic, and they simply called it Coke, which was what it always used to be, and it cost them a whole lot of money. They really hurt themselves badly. That's what pride does. Pride makes us do really stupid things because somehow we think we know better than God. I got news for you. No human being knows better than God. I don't care what they pretend. I don't care if they're popular. I don't care if they look good. No human being knows more than God. So stay humble, and that means keep agreeing with God. Keep trusting Him. And God's going to add all kinds of grace to your life and everything that means. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.